Okay, we're on Ayin Tet, I'm an Aleph. Okay, so I'll begin. Please, let's everybody focus. Let me just go back to the Mishnah just for one line. If you look, turn back to Ayin Gimel Amud Beis 73b. So the Mishnah says on the third line from the top in the Mishnah on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, Ha'ochel Kotev Ragasa, if a person eats the size of a fat date, Kamoa V'chagari Nita, like it and its seed, or if a person drinks the malugmav like his cheeks full, but we said it's like one cheek really with your cheek, but it comes out really one cheek is chayev. He's chayev for violating Yom Kippur. Okay, now turn to Ayin Dechenem Beis. Now before I should mention yesterday Michael was asking about the exceptions for the melech, the kala, and the chaya. So again, so if the Yisur Mor the Rabbanan, so it's easy to understand how it's carved out. And this Rabbi Simon Wolf was saying that even if it's Doraisa, but the Chamim have a koach to define the parameters, so it's okay that way as well. All right, let's see back in the Gemara on the bottom line. Ha'ochel kikotev ragasa. So we said if a person eats a fat date on Yom Kippur, so then he's chayav karet if it's b'mezid. So by Rapapa poses the question. When they refer to kotevet, they mean with its pit or without its pit. Now, the Chorah, the Mishnah said the date and the pit. Let's see the way Rashi understands it. The top line in Rashi, the fact that the Mishnah says and with its pit, so he's asking, what does the Mishnah mean? Kamohu uchagari natayaka. Does it mean the date and the pit together? Is that what the Mishnah means? O dilma haki kamar. Kamoa okikar inata. Or perhaps it means if you ate either the size of the pit or the size of the date, maybe that's what it means. That's the way Rashi understands the sugya. So if you look at Tosfos, the Tosfos, which is on the first very wide line downstairs, Kotev Agasa. So if you look in the middle of the third line, Satosa says, Mikumakomai Misapkale, according to Rashi, what's the question? Tifsho da Korcha Gorina Ta Tani Divtarbayu Misharin, and it must be that it eats both. The Lav Kigorina Ta Mithi Lo Shavula Dade. So the two are not the same size. The pit is not the same size as the flesh of the day. It says, The Yifsho Sam Sam Shu Shavin, Kotevet below Garin, the Garin below Kotevet, Imkin Lema Hashira Pachot Payav. So you should say, in other words, he wouldn't say it, the way Rashi is saying it's either the date or the he's misupak. Maybe the pshat in Mishnah is that if you eat the size of the date or the size of the pit. But Tosfos says if that's the pshat, the Tana should just pick the smaller of the two. If that would be, in other words, not even, in other words, we have a safek in the Gemara. But it doesn't seem like the way Rashi has, it doesn't seem like a well founded safek. Because if it would be that it means the way Rashi is saying, does it mean the date and the pit, or the date without the pit, or the pit without the date? But then the Tana wouldn't say Kamoa b'chagari nata. He would pick the smaller of the two and say that way. He says v'choshke niyachol shir rabba. The nearly the farish demabayale still in Tosos kotevet agas the Tani he u'begari nata. Then kotevet kibriyata imagarin u'chagari nata the Tani hanu perush va'od gari nacher below kotevet. That would trade garin v'kotevet. In other words, Tosos says the pshat way Tosos figures. When it says kamoa b'chagar inata, does it? He thinks the question is it a date and an additional pit, or a date and that pit? That's the way Tosos thinks the question is in the Gemara. He says odilma kotev ragas tani below garin mashma b'chagar inata and garin shaboto kotevet. So that's the way Tosos figures out the question. But then the Rome Sade from the Netziv says the question is. Do we say it's kamobakari natah? Do I say it's like the date with the pit and includes the space between the pit and the date? In other words, internally, there's a space between the pit and the date. Does that include that? Or does it mean each one evaluated separately? In other words, you have the volume of the pit and the volume of the flesh of the date without the space. That's the question. Anyway, so you see, but the Mefarshim are picking up on what is the question of the Gemara. But either way, let's see back in the Gemara. So by Rapapa, Kikotevet Shamru Begarin Ata or below Garin Ata. So we go like Rashi. Does it mean, does it mean a date and the pit, or does it mean, you know, a date without the pit? So by Ravashi poses a question. This is a different question, but the Gemara will This is etzem kisora beklipato below klipato. This refers to a Mishnah in Masechet Ahalot, and we've had this before in Daf Yomi. It says etzem kisora is mentabe mark of a masa. If you have a human bone, the size of a, or a piece of a bone, the size of a sora, barley seed, it's mentabe b'mago b'masa. So if I touch it, I'm tame, or if I carry it without touching, I'm tame. So the question is, that's in terms of klipata below klipata. Does it mean the barley seed with its shell or without its shell? The lacha will be vesha. Do we mean a moist barley seed or a dried out barley seed? The moist one is obviously, you know, bigger than this than the dried out one. And the one with klipa is obviously bigger than the one without a klipa. So the Gemara now says we have two questions on the table. One from Rav Papa related to the shir of Kotevra Gasa on Yom Kippur. And the other is Etzem Kisaora, as posed by Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi Lomabayle had Rav Papa. Rav Ashi was not bothered by Rav Papa's question about the size of the Kotevet Agasa. Gasa is Mark Kotama de Gasa. And it says the Kotevet Agasa, a fat date. So it means like the maximum size. So it, the way Rashi has it, it would be the date with the pit. That would be the way it would go. Or if you say the way that Nitziv has it, it would mean the whole date with the space and the whole thing. And if you say the way Tosfos has it, it would be the date with an additional pit. He says, Rav Papa Lomabayle had a Rav Ashi. Rav Papa was not bothered by Rav Ashi's question about the etzem, the tisora, lacha, shibolet nikri. If it would be a damp, moist barley seed, it would be called shibolet. It wouldn't be called sora. It would be called shibolet. Shelo beklipata, if it's without its shell, ushtal nikri. So he wants to say, so must be a dry, the way, so Rav Papa felt the shot has to be a dried barley seed with the shell. That's the only way that we make some shot sense. All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Are we good? All right, let's go on. Now, the Gemara says we're around the eighth line on Ayin Tedamon Aleph. 2, 4, 6, 7th line. Okay, we have Amar Rabba, he corrects it. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Kotevet Agasa She'amru Yeterim Yikaveitza. So Rabba says the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Kotevet Agasa, the fat date, is a shear which is larger than an egg. He says larger than an egg. Now, we'll see in Amud Beis to Machloket, and Lahalacha, we don't hold this way. Lahalacha, we hold the sizes go to Zayit, Ma'alev, that's the smallest. Then you have Kotevet Agasa, and then you have Kibetza. Okay, everybody got it? So Tzayit, Kotevet Agasa, the fat date, and then Kibetza, the size of an egg. So he's saying that Kotevet Agasa is larger than an egg. Let's see how this goes. So, and remember, we don't know the size of their dates, and we're not familiar with their dates, you know, and or their eggs. So he says, "Yitirmi kibetza." The kimlu the rabbanon the v'hachim yach v'daite. The chachamim established with that if you eat that amount of food on Yom Kippur or any time, because of yishav das, you feel settled, and when was the food settled you down? Batzir mihachi lo miyach v'daite. Less than that, it doesn't give you yishav das. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi, eight lines from the bottom in the Rashi. Kimlu the rabbanon v'chulei, va'afagav the full shir achilat iser b'tzayidi. The Rashi is picking up throughout Shas is always kizayit, kizayit, kizayit. Whenever achilat iser is involved, like what's the shir eating chazer achilah? So it's kizayis. So he says, hani mile heichad dechiva achilah. That's where the Torah says don't eat it. You know, it mentions achilah. Abal hacha shabu tunekti. But by Yom Kippur, it says, you know, it mentions inui. He says, so as long as you don't have like yishuv das, it's still called inui. So you could eat kezias and still be in a state of inui. The miyat v'daite, then not inui. Then that's what violates the, you know, on a deraisa level. So let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, so we think that the Kotevet Agasa, which is the shear for Yishuv Das, in other words, to violate Yom Kippur on a Torah level, is bigger than an egg, and that gives you. Now, Meifei, on this we ask a question from the Mishnah Masechet Sukkah, which is coming up in Daf Yomi in just a few weeks. So try to remember this. Our next Masechet is Masechet Sukkah. So it's really, that's Daf Chafav, and we have about a week left or so with Yoma. So doing advanced mathematics is around, you know, 34 days from now, something like around 5-7 weeks from now. So he says here, around 5 weeks from now, right? Okay, Meifei. Ma'aseh v'biyu l'Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai l'tomat ha'tavshil. There was an incident where they brought Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai like a pot of cooked food to taste outside the sukkah. Rabbi Gamliel shtei kotavot li shamayim, and they brought to Rabbi Gamliel two kotavot. The one we're interested in is Rabbi Gamliel with the two kotavot. Two kotavot are two dates. They brought him food the size of two dates, or maybe two dates, and a dli shamayim and a bucket of water. But Amru, they both said, "Helum the sukkah, bring it in the sukkah. We don't want to eat this outside the sukkah." But Tani Allah, we learn in the Braisa concerning that Mishnah, lo b'nei halacha kach, not because the halacha is necessarily that they were obligated to eat the sukkah for that amount. They wanted to be machmir. They wanted to be more stringent with themselves. And indeed, that's what the halacha is, that if a person's machmir, you know, tabola bracha, even if you're machmir with a cup of water and then feed it in the sukkah, that's good. Now, back in the Mishnah, when they gave for Ritzadok, ochel pochel mekevetza, food less than the size of a kibetza, less than the size of an egg, and we'll say it's bread. He says, Nitalo b'mapa, he put it in a napkin. He says, V'aklo chutz the sukkah, he ate it outside the sukkah, lo birei chachura. So he's got three kulas, let's see Rashi. Nitalo b'mapa v'aklo b'chulei, shushat kuli nahag bo, he behaved with it with three leniencies. Achach lo natal yadav, el b'mapak brachadab b'm aninadat. He didn't wash his hands. He felt there's no obligation to wash hands if you're eating bread less than the size of a kibetza, but he just wrapped it in a napkin because he was like sensitive and a little cleanliness. He wrapped his hands. He wrapped it in his hands in a napkin. Or he said nitalobamapa. He says b'chutz sukkah aklo. He ate it outside the sukkah. B'lo birei chachrab. He didn't bench afterwards. Now turn page and Amud Beis. So the Gemara says had kibetza by sukkah. So a reasonable deduction from the last part of the Mishnah, it said that they gave Rabbi Tzadok bread less than the size of kibetza. The implication being, if it would be more than the size of a betza, then he would eat it in the sukkah. So bread larger than the size of an egg, or we think food, we're not metallic with the food, we think that food, which is larger than the size of kibetza, you're obligated to eat in the sukkah. He says, V'isal kadaita kotevet agasa sh'amu yitera mikibetza. If you assume the fat date is bigger than an egg, hash to shake kotavot below garinan lo havu kibetza kotevet agas garinatam mihavi yiter mikibetza. So we mentioned earlier that we said that they brought to Rabbi Gamliel shtei kotavot, two dates. So if a kotevet agasa, if a fat date is larger than an egg, we figure that two dates are larger than an egg as well. In other words, if a fat date is larger than an egg, so two dates, we think, even if they're not fat dates, we think would be larger than an egg. That's what we assume. So, but it doesn't stay moist. We said the shear to eat in the sukkah is kibetza. And yet the Mishnah says, Mefurash, that Rabbi Gamliel ate it in the sukkah, but not that he was obligated to eat it in the sukkah. So apparently the two kotavot are less than the size of a betza. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda said that the kotevet agasa is bigger than the size of an egg. But that doesn't steam moist with this Mishnah. It just doesn't make sense. Because the shear to eat in the sukkah we think is a beitza. And yet he's eating, the Mishnah is saying that two kotavot, you have two dates, you're not obligated to eat it in the sukkah. He would just mock me on himself. So the Gemara says on the top line, if you assume the fat day is bigger than a beitza, if two kotavot are not the size of a beitza, which is the only way to construe it in order to make the Mishnah all jive together, so he says, does it make sense that the fat date would be larger than the beitza? In other words, more logical thrust is the two kotavot and kotavet agasa are less than a beitza. Then everything makes sense. So that's a kasha against Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi the name of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yirmiya in shtei kotavot below gari natan lo habu kibetza." He says, "No, you could still say that kotevet agasa is larger than an egg, and nevertheless, two dates, two garden variety dates, could be less than the egg." He says, "Amar Rabbi Yirmiya in shtei kotavot below gari natan without the pits lo habu kibetza. Kotevet agasa below gari natan habi yaterim kibetza. It could be the pit is very large." And the pit being humongous, so two dates without pits could be less than a kibetza, but kotevet agasa with the pit could be larger than a kibetza. That's what Rabbi Yirmi says. So that's to deflect the challenge. And then Amar Rav Papa says, "Hain d'amri inshi." That's what people say. It's an expression. Trey kavi d'tzmare, if you buy two kavs, it's a measure, two kavs of dates, chad kavi d'kashyatu sriya, one kav plus will be the pit and leftover. In other words, you get more pit than you get date. So you get a lot of pit. That's one way to resolve the question. Okay, just give me one second. We're almost there. So again, we were trying to understand how the Gemara says that the two dates didn't have to be eaten in the sukkah. With the shiur eating the sukkah is a kibetza. If the two dates don't have to be eaten in the sukkah, then they're obviously not the size of a kibetza. So the Gemara said that could be true, but kotevet agasa could be larger than the kibetza. And then one more answer. Rava Amar Hatamahinu Tama. Rava says the reason that the two dates he didn't have to eat in the sukkah was not that they weren't larger than a beitza. Mishum Dahavu Luperei. They're fruits. Luperei lo ba'u sukkah. Fruits don't require yeshiva in a sukkah. So the fact you didn't prove anything when we spoke about the shear kibetz, we're talking about bread. You're talking about fruits. You could have 3 tons of fruit outside the sukkah. So you're never obligated to eat fruits in the sukkah, no matter how much you have. So Bechlal, the question's not a question. All right, let me pause for 1 second. Anybody have any questions?
I do have a question about shiurim in general. So I always wonder, this is a volume size, but some things you can squeeze down and make them into take a piece of sponge cake. I can take sponge cake, it's big, right, and bigger than a kazayas, but if I squeeze it down, it's more than a kazayas. How does it work? Right.
Yeah, so lechora, simple pshat, it would be things, in other words, well, actually, it's a good question, because we had, according to the Rome Sada, that Kufa was the question for the shear for the fat date, whether we're including the airspace in the fat date.
Exactly.
But generally speaking, we don't include airspaces. That's it as a general matter, I would say. We don't include airspaces when we're...
Like a sponge cake, if I can squeeze it down to the size of less than the kazayas.
In other words, when you grind everything down, that's what the shear is. Okay.
Okay, now
let me just get through to a pause here. That was like a mini pause, but let me get to where we're going. Okay, yes, we're on line 10. Right. Okay, on page. Okay, good. Okay. So the Gemara says, but the yesod we said is that fruit never requires sukkah. That's the yesod of our answer. Fruit don't require sukkah, so there's nothing you can prove from the dates over there, because it's got nothing to do with anything, and there's no shear for dates. It doesn't matter how many dates you would have, so it could have been larger than a kibetza. So maybe on this we ask Kasha, I'm a Rebbe, this is Braisa, I'm a Rebbe, Shainu Lomdin Torah, Eitz of Reb Lazar ben Shemua. When we were studying Torah with Reb Lazar ben Shemua, if you remember last night, I think we had Reb Lazar ben Pedad, who was the Amara. This is Reb Lazar ben Shemua, the Tana. If you look on Enu, they brought before us Tainim Ba'anavim. Now this is talking about during Sukkot. We ate, in other words, we ate figs and grapes, Ba'achalnum Achilat Arai Chutzah Sukkah. We ate it like a snack outside the sukkah. There was figs and grapes. He says, "Achilat arayi in achilat kevelo." The implication being, you said that fruit, like you could have, 3 tons of fruit, you don't eat in the sukkah. This brisa says, Rebbe is saying in the brisa, when we had the fruit, it was only because it was achilat arayi. It was a snack. But the implication being that if I would have a whole meal out of the fruit, I would have to eat it in the sukkah. So the Gemara says, Achilat Arayi in Achilat Kevelo. So the Gemara says, Ema Achalnum Kachilat Arayi Chutz L'Sukkah. So one is, the Gemara says, it means that we ate it Ka'achilat Arayi Chutz L'Sukkah. It was that any amount of fruit we would have had, by definition, would be Achilat Arayi. Fruit is never Achilat Keva. So we ate it, no matter how much fruit we have, it was like Ka'achilat Arayi, the legal equivalent of a snack. Even if we ate, 10 pounds of fruit, it's like the legal equivalent of a snack. Or ibayd ema, or else I could say, achalnum achilat keva, yachalnu par achilat arayi bahadayu chutz the sukkah. Or I could say that we have to add above in the brisa. So if you look in the brisa, he says, I'm a Rebbe, when we're learning Torah by Reb Lazar and Shabua, evilu panenu teinim ba'anavim, and ba'achalnu, and he says, 1 second. Yeah, ba'achalnum. No, he says, then ba'achilat arayi. In other words, you have to add above to ba'achilat arayi. In other words, when brought tainim banavim, we ate that. That was achilat arayi. And it says ba'achal achilat arayi, and we also had, in other words, whatever amount of fruit we had a green light to eat the fruit. No question with the fruit. And then when he says we ate achila rai, he means we had a small amount of bread that was achila rai. So in other words, the fruit were fine no matter how much we ate. When he was talking on the bread, right, he says, Ba'adayu chutz sukkah. So the Gemara says, Lema Messiah. So should we say that the following brisa supports this idea, supports the last hesber? The brisa is lefiha. It's not clear why it says lefiha. Imishlim b'minei targima yatsa. So again, we said that Rava says that fruit, there's no limit to how much fruit you could have outside the sukkah. So the brisa says imishlim b'minei targima yatsa. So this is going. The Mishnah records the opinion of the Tana Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer says in Sukkah that a person is obligated to eat the Sukkah 14 meals. Sukkah is a 7-day holiday in Eretz Israel. Two meals a day. Every day he's obligated to have two meals, one at night and one during the day in the Sukkah. So B'sach HaKol, 14 meals during the course of Sukkah. And then this Bryce says, L'pichach Mishlim B'minei Targima Yatva. If he completed the meals with Minei Targima, he's Yotzei. There's a question what Minei Targima is. The Rush says Minei Targima means like mizonot, but the different region says it means like meat and fish. But we'll see in a minute. He says Ve'isak Adaita Peirei Ba'u Sukkah. If you would assume that fruits require yeshiva in the sukkah, let me peirot. So why he should say we were mashlim it with types of fruit? In other words, he was saying we could complete the meals with something less than bread. So we had Minei Targima. Let's assume it's mizonot. We completed the meals mizono. But if fruits require yeshiva and sukkah, he should say, we complete the meals with fruits. In other words, like, why is that not a good substitute? So the Gemara says, my minei targima. So the Gemara says, that's not a great raya, because I could say, what does minei targima mean, peirot? In other words, minei targima could mean peirot, in which case, see, that's exactly what he means. That doesn't prove that you don't need the sukkah for the peirot. The ibayd emor, or else I could say that the person Tana was speaking in an area they didn't have fruits that were common. In Achinami, if fruits would be common, they would use fruits. But okay, let's just summarize for a minute, and we go on to the next space. Okay, so the basic yisod was that Rabbison and Rav Yehuda that a kotevet agasa, which is a shear for achila on Yom Kippur, is bigger than a beitza, is larger than a beitza. And then we asked the question from the Mishnah Masechet Sukkah on that shear, which made it sound like that it cannot be bigger than a beitza, because we said that if you eat two dates outside the sukkah, you're fine, but you can't eat more than a beitza. You can't eat more than a beitza outside the sukkah. So the Gemara said that's not a raya. It could be that the two dates without their pits are smaller than an egg, and a kotevet agasa with a pit could be larger than an egg, because the pit could be very large. That's one answer the Gemara has. And then the Gemara also said that Rava's answer was that the Mishnah is talking about fruit. Fruit you're never obligated to eat in the sukkah. And then we got into a whole, Shlichal Torah about whether you're obligated to try to bring proof for it, but that's Rava's yisod. So fruit are never obligated to sukkah. It doesn't matter how much the shear is. Okay, what's up? Right. The Gemara has that in Sukkah. You have to stay for Daf Yomi another 5 weeks and we'll get to Masechet Sukkah. The Gemara asked that. The Gemara asked it over in Masechet Sukkah. Okay. So, but you have to stay 5 weeks till you get that. And not see you in 5 weeks. See you tomorrow. See, we stay every day till for the 5 weeks and then beyond there. Okay, let's get back on the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says, all right. So further in the Gemara. Okay, any questions about what we did so far? Everybody good? Everybody happy? All right. Now, Rav Zvid Amar, we're around 8 lines above where it gets wide on Ayin Ketov Beis. Okay? Rav Zvid Amar, Kotevet Agasa She'amru, Chaseirim Yitabetza. Rav Zvid says, a fat date is not larger than an egg, it's less than an egg. So if it's less than an egg, then our problems are resolved. Then we don't even have a problem with Mishnah Masechet Sukkah or anything like that. Now, how do I know that Kotevet Agasa is less than the size of an egg? Did not, because we learned the Mishnah. This is the first Mishnah Masechet Beya. Now, this is now we're talking about on Pesach, even though the Mishnah is in Bay, it's talking about Hilchot Pesach. So everybody agrees the shear for Achila on Pesach is Kazayas. That we know it's Achila. So Uri says, so you're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach, that's Kazayas. But then the question is, what's the shear for Bal Yeraya, Bal Yimatzeh, that you can't have any chametz in your possession? So Beit Shammai means or b'tzai b'chameis b'kakotevet. So Beit Shammai says it depends. Nothing is going to be less than a kazayit because that's shir b'chila. So Bal Yeraya is not going to be less than a kazayis. But according to Beit Shammai, if it's seor, which is a very yeasty dough that you use to leaven other dough, so then that's a kazayis. B'chameis b'kakotevet. If it's chametz, it's the shear of the date. He says dohavinan ba, and we were osik in this mishnah. We asked the following question. My Tama or my Tamayu to Beit Shammai. What's the reason for Beit Shammai? Why does Beit Shammai say that Chametz is a Kotevet? Why does Chametz get bumped up to the size of a Kotevet? Now, so the Gemara, you have to, assuming that they would both be Kazayas, assuming Luyatsur, the Shear for both, Seor and Chametz would be Kazayas, so Nikto Brachmana Chametz will buy Seor. So then Torah doesn't have to say Lo Yerelecha Chametz, Lo Yerelecha Seor. Torah could just say Lo Yerelecha Chametz. He says, "Ba'ana amina," and I would say, "Uma chamish in chimut so kashem," that chametz, which is not such a great leavening agent, asur b'kazayit, that is the shear b'kazayit. Soor chimut so kashem lo koshkin. So certainly, soor, which is even a stronger leavening agent, if it would be that both would be shear b'kazayis, so the Torah would just say, "Lo yir lecha chametz." Don't have chametz in your rishus if that would be the case. He says, Midapalgin Rachmana, but since the Torah divides it up into two, Lo Yerelecha Seor, Lo Yerelecha Chametz, there you go. Right. So, okay. So he says, Limdalach Shirosh Zeh, Lo Kishirosh Zeh. So it teaches that the Shir is different. The Shir for Chametz, Seor, is different than Chametz. So means the threshold for Seor, we're going to say, is Gezayis. The threshold for Chametz is going to be a larger Shir because it's not a big leavening agent. So we think that, in other words, we're looking for notches, the next shiur, with no different shiurim in the canvas of halacha. We have different shiurim. Right, exactly right. We have kizayis. So if chametz is going to be one step up, then Beit Shammai says kotevet, the date, on the first wide line downstairs. The isal kadaita kotevet agasi sha'amru yiterim mi kibetza, if you assume the fat date is bigger than an egg, Mifti Beit Shammai is shiur than Apish Mikazayit Kamahadri. Beit Shammai is looking for a shiur which is larger than a Kazayit, Litni Kabeitza. So if what you said is true initially on Ahmed Aleph, what Rabbi said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that Kotevet Agasa is larger than an egg, so the next shiur up from Kazayis is Kabeitza. So Beit Shammai should say that you're right. Seor is a Kazayis and Chametz is a Kabeitza. But it's not what it says. It says Chametz is a Kotevet. So we think that Kotevet is the next shear above Kizayas. That's what we think. Now, the inami kiadari ninu, and even assuming arguendo, like we like to say in law, that they're both the same, that a Kotevet is the same as Kibetza, if that would be the case, nitni Kibetza, he should still say Kibetza, because that's the more common shear that's used throughout the Mishnah. So el lav shvamina Kotevet b'chuta mi Kizayas. So is it not, you must say, the Kotevet is less than a Kibetza, rather. So now the Gemara has, so that was an attempt, at, we're trying to prove that the Kotevet is less than the size of a Beitza. Okay, now the Gemara is going to, so the proof was from that Mishnah, Masechet Beya, that Beit Shammai says that the Seor is a Kazayas and Chametz is Kotevet, and if the Beitza was smaller than a Kotevet, he should say Kibetza. That's what he said. So the Gemara says, Mimai, who says that that's necessarily true? Maybe a fat date is bigger than a Beitza. Hastam a Kibetza. We're talking about a Kotevet, not Kotevet Agasa. So maybe Kotevet Agasa, the fat date, is bigger than an egg. A regular Kotevet is the same size as an egg. And even if they're the same size, he just picked one of them. In other words, he was rejecting that last argument. And we said before he should pick the Beitza. But he says in that Tinami, he picked one of them. In other words, that's rejecting that line of argument. assuming that they are the same size. Ella, okay, so that proof is by the wayside. That proof, no proof. Now we're looking for proof that Kotevet Agasa is less than the size of a Beisa. We're on the hunt. Ella Mehacha. So we think we have a proof from the following Mishnah and Masecha Brachot, which Daf Yomi people will hopefully remember. Otherwise, it's another 6 years till we get to it. Daf Yomi. Ad Kama Mizamin, what's the minimum shear to be Mizamin with somebody? Ad Kizayit Ibramayr. Quit Ramayr. Kizayit. In other words, it means if you're starting from a large measure, you keep going down, 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 up till Kizayit. In other words, Kizayit is the last minimum shear to be mezamein with somebody. You have to eat a Kizayit. Right. Rabbi Huda Omer, Ad Kibetza. Rabbi Huda says Ad Kibetza. It really means when you chayev in benching, is really what it's coming out to. If you look at Rashi, mezamein, mevarchin l'mazon j'achrav. In other words, what's the minimum shear to be chayev in birkas l'mazon? So Rabbeir says a Kizayit. And Rabbi Huda says a kibetza. B'mai kemiflegi, what's the point of dispute between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda? Rabbi Meir savar v'achalta. Now they're each going to darshan the pasuk v'achalta v'sabata v'irachta. We know that birkas hamazon and birkas haTorah are the only brachot that are doraisa. Says Rabbi Meir savar v'achalta zuachiba. When he says v'achalta you'll eat, v'sabata zushtia. As his father means drinking, v'achila b'kazayit. So stam achila is a general rule throughout Shas, Achilles Kazayat. So, Pshutu Kamashmo. The Esau, did I skip something? Yeah, but Achilles Kazayat. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Be'achalt of the Savata, Achilles Sheish Basvia. Rabbi Yehuda says when it says Be'achalt of the Savata, it means not a garden variety Achilles, but an Achilles that has Sphia, that has, like, you're satiated with it. It says, Achilles Sheish Basvia, Be'ezazah, Kibetza, that's Kibetza. If you'll assume, now assuming arguendo that Kotevet Agasa is larger than a Kibetza, and we said the shear for Yom Kippur is when of Yishuv Das. In other words, you feel settled in. So he says, Hashta Kibetza Sabui Misaba. So what are you going to say? That the shear within the sheet of the Tana Rabbi Huda, a Kibetza is enough for me to be satiated. But, but I don't have Yishuv Das with it. In other words, like satiation is like, it sounds like, you know, that's a substantial amount of eating. In other words, it doesn't make sense that you have Kidei Sfia and you don't have Yishuv Das yet. So rather, you have to assume that Kotevet Agasa is less than a Beitza. He says, Kibetza Mesaba. So if you eat a Kibetza, you have Sfia, you have some satiation. Kotevet, you have Yishuv Das. Okay, now let me just do some things. Let me take some questions first. Who's got questions? And I don't close Gemara yet. Okay, who's got questions? We're stopping in the Gemara, but we're not done with the Gemara. Who's got questions on anything we did so far? Yossi was asking that the Tana Reb Lezer says there are 14 meals to eat in Sukkah. You have two meals each day. The Yossi said, what about on Shabbat? You have three meals. Well, that's not the way the Gemara understands it, but anyway, wait till the Gemara in the second Sukkah. Okay, now, I have to see the Gemara over there. Okay, all right, now, let's do a little piece on this. Now, he gets into the topic of Hanas Grono and Hanas Meyav. In other words, like your throat getting satisfaction or your stomach getting satisfaction on Yom Kippur, which is a famous chakira. So we said the Mishnah says that eat a shear of Kotevet Agasa, which is larger than a Kazayas and smaller than a Kibetza. And Kazayas is the minimum for Achilan, and Kibetza is Kdesvia. Fine. Now, Kotevet Agasa is required because Inu need Yishuv Das. Now, Rabbi Yochanan in the Masech Chulin, a Kuf Gimel, asserts that if one swallows half Kazayas of forbidden food, then expels it and swallows it again, he's liable to malkod since Kazayat passed through his throat, even though he digested only half Kazayat. Whereas the Gemara Masech HaChulin says, let's say I tie a piece of chazer, half Kazayat of chazer to a string. I swallow the chazer, and then I pull it up, and then I swallow it again. And I leave it, and then let's say the second time I don't have the string on it, and then I eat it. So even though I only ended up consuming a half Kazayat, Rabbi Yochanan learns I'm chayav malko for eating kazayas because the chazer went through my throat twice. So he says, Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion the critical factor regarding malchut liability for eating forbidden foods is that one derive hanan grono, pleasure of the throat, from the food. So Rabbi Shimshon Rafal Hirsch was asked whether taking food suppositories rectally is permitted on Yom Kippur, does not provide hanan grono. So let's say I have a way of nourishment which doesn't involve my throat. It was suggested that perhaps a frail person should take such suppositories on Yom Kippur morning to prevent him from feeling faint and having to eat later in the day. So in response, Rav Hirsch, and Rav Hirsch lives in the 19th century, Rav Hirsch draws a distinction between eating forbidden foods and the Isra of eating on Yom Kippur. He argues that if taking suppository quells one's hunger, it's forbidden to use them on Yom Kippur, even though they do not provide hanat grono, since the essential factor in Yom Kippur is yitube daite, easing one's hunger. Note, of course, this ruling does not pertain to case of pikuach nefesh, when even eating is permitted. So Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch wanted to say that the threshold for Yom Kippur is different than other Isurim. Here, the Gemara says, on Yom Kippur, not only is it Inui, so it's different than a Kizayis, but it's Yitube Daite. That's the key. We have Yishuv Das from it. So anything that gives me Yishuv Das, so like by that logic, if I have an IV drip would also be prohibited, in other words, because I have Yishuv Das from it. So he said the suppositories are out the door. The Chasam Sofer also distinguishes between eating on Yom Kippur and other Isurim and argues that with regard to Yom Kippur, the critical factor is hanat me'ah, pleasure of the stomach rather than the throat. Now, I don't know, when he says hanat me'ah, so like he says with the suppositories, I don't know if it literally means like in the stomach, but it means you feel satiated. Yeah. In a similar vein, the Panimi wrote, submits, with regard to Birkan HaMazon, where the Torah states for Savata, one is not required to recite Birchas HaMazon min HaTorah unless the food provided him with Hanat Me'av. If one eats half Kibetza, expels it, and re-swallows it, he is not required to recite Birchas HaMazon. Okay, now the Achiezer, the Rav Chaim Ozer Grzensky, who died in 1940, however, disagrees and proves that the Isur of eating on Kippur depends on Hanat Grono, just like other Isurim. So again, so we have a whole bunch of posting saying it's Hanat Me'av on Yom Kippur. Achiezer wants to say it's Hanas Grono. He says, the Gemara in Shavuos on Yud Gimel Amud Beis cites a case of one who chokes while eating on Yom Kippur as an example of a person who dies without attaining Yom Kippur atonement. This Gemara indicates that even though the person choked and died before the food entered his stomach, he's violated Yom Kippur. In other words, he was violating Yom Kippur and then he died. It sounds like he swallows it, but it never got down to the stomach. Yeah. This proves, says the Achiezer, that the essential factor regarding Yom Kippur is Hanat Grono, not Hanat Me'av. Consequently, the Achiezer permits a sick person to take food or liquid through a feeding tube or intravenously on Yom Kippur, since it lacks the critical factor of Hanat Grono. Anyway, you see, like with this one line in the Gemara, it mentions Yitube Daita, so that's the turning point on what is the Easter on Yom Kippur? Is it Hanat Me'av or Hanat Grono? So I don't know which way we paskin on this. I have to look.
How does the time factor calculate into that?
It has to be b'chayachilat pras. So you want to, but even assuming that it's longer, so it's like it gets into the issue of chatzis shiras from an Torah. Remember, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even if I have a chatzis shir, it's still a Torah, still violating a Torah prohibition.
But we have shirim for a person. Right, if you wait a certain amount of time, then you eat again.
Right. In other words, if a person has to eat, so then we stretch it out. In other words, you won't violate it on a Torah level, but in other words, you won't violate the chiv kare. But in Achinami, chatzishir is asked from in a Torah.
Time period the same as the time period that you eat matzah on Pesach? The time period?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's kedei ashir achilas pras. I think it is. Okay, but there's my focus post how long that is. Okay, let me just do one more minute with this, and then I'll have to be it. Now, he says, you know what? There's an interesting piece he has in the Morot Daf Yomi today. There's an opinion that holds that if one drinks water on Yom Kippur, that a person does not violate the Torah by drinking water. And that's by Rabbi Yaakov Chagiz. Again, it's working with the same phrase, Yitube Daite, Yishuv Das. So he says, like, water doesn't in any way, like, satiate you. In other words, doesn't give you, you know, like, so he says, he says here, now he was the Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim 350 years ago. and his tshuvas reflect Shas tshuvas halachot tanot. So one of his tshuvas, he had a question: if a person drinks water on Yom Kippur, is he chayav karet? Now the Mishnah says hashotim lo lugma, but doesn't say what you're drinking. So he had the question: if you drink water on Yom Kippur, you chayav karet. He says, since like the water doesn't really nourish you, it could be that it's not Asra Min HaTorah, only the Rabbanon. So it would come out that if a person has to drink on Yom Kippur, he should rather drink water than another mashke, because then he won't violate it on the Torah level. He says, now he bases the Chita, I got to wrap it up in 1 minute, on the Rambam, who says that you can't make an Erev Tchumen with water. In other words, if I want to make an Erev Tchumen, so I put enough food for 2 meals at a location, but I can't use water. Rambam says, water is just to get the food where it needs to go, like in the digestive tract. Just removes you the thirst. It doesn't nourish you at all. So it sounds like from the Rambam that would come that way. If it's not an Easter deraisa on Yom Kippur, so it wouldn't be, you know, an Easter or whatever the maximum Easter is for Tishbav. If you say Tishbav is Divrei Kabbalah, it wouldn't be that either way. You would go this way,
should be so, less.
Okay, just 1 second. Now, almost all the other poskim attacked him, and they said among them was the Baal Shar Haskenim, who tainted. He says even though the water doesn't give you, you know, it doesn't nourish you, but who can say that it doesn't take away inui nefesh? In other words, the truth is, I don't know, I think most people, like on a fast day, like if I could just have a drink, I'm in good shape. So it does remove it. Now, he quotes the Munkacher Rebbe, the Minchas Elazar, is cholek on the supposition of Rabbi Yaakov Chagiz. He says that the water does more than nourishing. He says it does nourish. He says the water does nourish the person. So let me see here. So but since in people's minds they don't think of it as food, so Chum said you can't use it for a ruby tchumen, but in Achinami it does give you nourishment. Anyway, the halak we hold that water is like other mashkim. But it's just an interesting idea. Okay, I think that's got to be it for tonight. Okay, now tomorrow night we're going to be. Oh, let me end this the recording. 1 second. Let me get a recording.